charge here. That's what the rules are.
Welcome to Walkers and Talkers, episode 187. Right, Jamie?
Woo! That's right, 187.
Now, I know it's 187 because in 1987, the Mets just missed out on the playoffs when star pitcher Ron Darling fell on a, I think it was a bunt play, broke his thumb maybe, don't tweet me, it's something like that. And he missed the end of the season, and I think they missed out on the playoffs by one game. This is before there was a wild card. So 1987 will always be a sore point for me. That was when the St. Louis Cardinals and the Mets were in the same division, before they made a third Central Division and the Cardinals moved out of the East. Does that make sense? Welcome to Walkers and Talkers.
That's our opening.
That's our opening. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, I'd like to apologize for that. I'm David Brody from Elvis Duran, the morning show, and that, of course, is Jamie from Light FM. How are you, Jamie?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm hearing an echo back, which means your headphones are too loud, or that it's escaping your headphones, so if you don't mind.
I'll just turn it down.
Just turn it down! That's what the opposite. Turn it up! So we did get a, I want to say we have a new listener. So I want to officially welcome that new listener. Nope, not the Reaper. The Reaper is going to start. Oh, the Reaper, who's a big Brooklyn Boys fan, he's going to start watching The Walking Dead because I keep posting about our podcast. And he's going to start listening to this podcast. So good luck. You got a long time to catch up. I also want to say hi to Roger Mallett at BlurBoy1980 because
hi, Roger.
He found us. He did a search for Walking Dead podcasts, found us, enjoyed last week's episode. Started following all of our accounts, which means he's on board.
Yay!
We didn't scare Roger away. By the way, I like the name Mallet. It's like, it's a noun. It's a last name. You know, I like it, but it's like a solid name. Like
that
Ryan
is a
Mallet,
solid name.
Quarterback
nice
for the
name.
Patriots. Anyway, Ryan did a search, found us, which, hey, listen, I'll take it as anywhere I can get it. So thank you, Roger, for finding us. Not a fan of the Elvis Duran Morning Show that I know of or Light FM in New York. Just found our podcast. So he immediately is an active participant and tweeted at us a few times that he hated last week's episode of The Walking Dead, not of our podcast, of The Walking Dead. Splinter, which was a focus on just Princess, because he said, I don't care about her. Why do I want to watch a whole episode? Which is what a lot of people said.
Yeah, they did.
Now, I'm going to talk about Splinter today for a reason in our news segment. So hold on to your horses.
I'm holding.
Hold on to those horses. Just hold hold on to something, you know, just hold on to like something solid in the house. Just because we'll be talking about the really unpopular episode of Splinter. However, let's focus on season 11 for a moment. The next to last teaser has been released, which you just watched. I just watched.
Yes.
It's a quick scene of a courtroom with a gavel laying on the table. Now, in the comic books, no spoilers really, but in the comic books, the Commonwealth is a society based on how you lived before the apocalypse. Okay? There's a higher class and a lower class. I don't agree with this, by the way. I'm going to just tell you what it was in the comics. The
very
higher class is lawyers and politicians and people in authority. And the lower class in the Commonwealth, those people go on to be bakers, tailors, and butchers. Now, listen, I have no disrespect for bakers and butchers and tailors, because I know you are obsessed with the fact that there's a bakery in the Commonwealth.
Oh, I would totally work at the bakery if I was in the Commonwealth.
Right.
I'm a great baker.
There is nothing lower class about being a butcher or this is the comic books. I'm all about blue collar workers. My family is blue collar. You know, you're a baker, a butcher, or a tailor. That's important stuff. So in the comics, Michonne is a lawyer. And she is put on trial, basically, to prove that she's worthy and that everyone else is worthy. And I didn't read that part of the comics, so don't quote me on exactly what's going on. But and she's not obviously going to be in the Commonwealth because she left. She's skedaddled.
Yeah,
she's making
did.
Marvel movies right now. But Yumiko is a lawyer because they slipped that slip that she was Magna's lawyer for whatever Magna did or didn't do wrong.
Yeah.
And so Yumiko is most likely going to play the role of lawyer. Now, on the team in the comics, Michonne is given like a really nice house, authority because she was a lawyer. So Yumiko's probably going to take on that role. Now, will Yumiko take on the other things that Michonne had happened to her at Commonwealth? We don't know. A lot of things happened, and the people they happened to aren't on the TV show anymore, like Dwight and Rick, very important roles. So we don't know what's going to happen or who it's going to affect.
Yeah.
Right? So Princess was there. Michonne was there. Eugene was there. So those people will probably play the same roles. Anyway, so the teaser is a courtroom and a gavel. Now, it looks like there's a lot of chairs, And if I remember from what I read in the comic books, it was only Pamela, the governor of the Commonwealth, who sort of interrogated them or put them on trial to prove their worthiness, right? Or whatever the trial was.
Yeah.
Now, I still think it may be Georgie or Georgia, Georgina.
Georgie,
right? Because she looks like Pamela from the comics, or that could have been them just screwing with us, because they do that sometimes.
They like to do that.
So it might be there's a panel of people, and it's possible there is no Pamela in the TV show, and therefore there is no Georgie. It may just be a bunch of people instead of just one person.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what the teaser trailer is. In the episode of Here's Negan next week, we'll see the final teaser trailer.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
That's what they're saying. It's the next little teaser trailer for season 11. Okay? Speaking of Here's Negan, in one of the teaser trailers for the episode, they show Lucille laying in bed. Now, I don't know if you caught this, Jamie.
Okay.
But she's wearing what looks to be a rock t-shirt or a concert shirt of an artist. Any idea who that artist on the t-shirt she's wearing, which takes place, I think, 12 years ago?
Tell me it's freaking Beta.
It's Half Moon.
Oh, my God.
So, apparently, she and Negan were fans, or at least she was a fan, of Half Moon, according to the TV show. So
mind
there's a
blown.
Mind-blowing Easter egg for you.
Holy shit.
There you go. As we joke on the Brooklyn Boys podcast, you were today years old when you learned that. By the way, one of my least favorite expressions. Sorry.
Okay.
Anyway, that was in the trailer. I don't know if you caught that, but there you go.
Good find.
Yes. Jamie, speaking of Here's Negan and season 11, there's the whole Rick Grimes movies thing. You have an update for us, right?
I do. So the movie will go into production, they say, in spring of 2022.
What?
I know.
What? That's and a year from now.
I know. I read it three times. I'm like, oh my God, that's the right date. They said it's not set in stone, but I'm hoping it could be earlier or if at the latest, spring 2022.
Okay, so we're talking about maybe seeing the movie by the end of 2022, which I guess will...
Maybe.
Right, which is when The Walking Dead ends. So maybe they'll time it to when The Walking Dead ends.
Because we need our fix.
Right, and Norman and the Carol and Daryl show is 2023.
Yeah.
So Michonne's got plenty of time if she's going to... I don't think she'll be in the first movie, because the first movie's got to be about where Rick was the 6 years we haven't seen him.
Exactly.
So I don't think anyone shows up in those movies till at least the second one.
I'm very excited about these movies. But in an interview with comicbook.com, Robert Kirkman talked about the differences we can expect between the series and the Rick Grimes movie. So this is what he said. He goes, I think that the show is very much an ensemble story, and this is very much a Rick story.
Okay.
So I think being able to focus more on Rick as a character and do more with him is really cool. He goes, you know, when you do something like this, you have to make sure that it makes sense for it to be a movie. And then here's where he's a little sassy. He goes, I'm very excited for people to finally see it when it's released in 2032. I know he's joking, but he knows, I think, in his head it's going to be a little bit before we see these movies.
I'm hoping that... I'm wondering what's going to come out first, like officially, like really come out. Black Widow or the Rick Grimes movies. And I know Black Widow is scheduled for July of this year. I'm just joking. Like he was. Just these things keep getting pushed back.
I know.
And the Rick movies, I feel like, are not going to fit the timeline. And I feel like, are Daryl and Carol going to go to New Mexico to look for Rick? And they made a wrong turn. And then they have to turn back and go all the way back to the East Coast when they realize he's in Philadelphia.
So many possibly questions.
And then there's people who think that maybe the Commonwealth will go to war with the CRM at some point.
Oh my God. Could you
imagine? And that's how they'll find Rick. You know, I don't know. I don't know. All right. there's a new show on Amazon called Invincible, which is a comic book, a cartoon rather, based on Robert Kirkman's other big comic book that started around the same time that The Walking Dead started. Now, there's been an exchange of Easter eggs officially. So, on The Walking Dead, Carl was wearing a shirt a few times that said The Science Dog. The Science Dog is a comic book in the comic book Invincible that the lead character Mark Grayson reads. So, whoa. That was a little Easter egg.
Yeah, whoa.
In Sam, in Sam's bedroom. Sam, don't make any noise. The walkers are going to eat you.
Oh, yeah. Cookies, Sam. Here's all the cookies.
Right. He played with invincible toys, little characters of some of the invincible cartoon characters. So that was two Easter eggs. Okay. Now, in the TV show Invincible, the voices of many of the characters are the Walking Dead alumni. Steven Yeun is the voice of Mark Grayson.
Love him.
Kari Payton is in it. Ross Marquand.
Marquand.
Chad Coleman.
Yeah.
Who is Tyrese. Michael Kodlitz.
Abraham Ford.
Plays a character called Red Rush. That seems to make sense.
That makes sense.
Lenny James voices a character. Sonequa Martin-Green and Lauren Cohan all voice characters in Invincible, which, by the way, is getting 9 out of 10 review points on IMDb and everywhere else.
So I need to watch this.
People are really enjoying that. So in the premiere of Invincible, not a spoiler, I'm just giving you an Easter egg you can look for. Mark Grayson, again voiced by Steven Yeun, beats the hell out of a bad guy. And at this point, he doesn't have a superhero name. So he says to himself, huh, I don't have a superhero name. What about Ass Kicker? No.
What?
That sounds willfully childish. What are you thinking? He says to himself. Now, you remember Little Ass Kicker was Judith.
Oh, I did. Little Judith.
Right. So, if you're into watching the show, it airs Fridays on Amazon. That's when the new episodes come out.
Ooh, I like this.
Obviously, it streams, so it'll be on any day you want to watch it. But the new episodes come out Friday. There you go. Enjoy. And look for other The Walking Dead Easter eggs. And if I'm not watching it, feel free to let us know if you see another Easter egg.
I like it.
Jamie, what else you got?
Well, Fear of the Walking Dead is coming back soon, and Season 6 will return 1 week earlier for AMC Plus and AMC Premier subscribers. That's us.
Hey, wait a minute. How come we timed that perfectly, but we can't time shut that shit down perfectly?
Because we plan it, and when we plan things, it falls apart.
Clearly, yes. By the way, I don't know if you, by the way, you edited your ending again. You cut off your recording again. You got to stop doing that.
I did?
Yes, because we were still talking, and then on the audio, your audio edit stops, and I'm still talking. So I leave all of that in because it's hilarious.
Oh, no, it's embarrassing.
In fact, last week I said, hey, don't stop recording. You're like, I won't, but you did. I want to apologize to our listeners. More Jamie Gold is missing because
I'm so sorry.
Because when I said, so anyway, she turned it off, and I kept talking, and I had to delete my part because she's not there. So
I will not touch
even it. After warning her. And I don't mean warning. I was like, I asked nicely. I said, hey, don't cut off the editing. Don't cut off the ending. And she's like, I won't. And then she did anyway. No editing.
Spaz sometimes.
Sometimes. You heard that, folks. Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. Well, a lot.
A lot.
Well, anyway.
Don't lie to our new listeners.
Okay.
Sorry, Roger.
Yeah, Roger, I'm a spaz a lot. I openly admit it.
By the way, Roger, if you haven't gone back and listened to past episodes, she broke her ass once. I don't know if we talked about that last week.
Tore it.
You tore your ass? I'm sorry. Right.
Dancing to a Bruno Mars song. Yes, that is true. And it took almost two years of physical therapy. I am ashamed.
All right.
So anyway, for the Fear of the Walking Dead, The Door, which reunites Morgan Jones and John Dory, will be released Sunday, April 4th, which is 1 week before the episode's TV premiere on April 11th. So we get an extra, like, kind of bonus episode. So the mid-season premiere was supposed to be the mid-season finale, but it was replaced with the episode before it in November due to filming delays caused by the pandemic. So now the episode The Door will launch a 9-episode half season instead of 8 episodes.
Okay, so that means the first episode back, April 4th for us, April 11th if you don't have it.
Yes.
Is going to be mid-season finale good.
That's what they're saying.
And that's the lineup, which means the lineup was going to be the mid-season finale.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to just say this now. Nobody likes when characters die on the show.
I know.
If you like them. But really, nobody's dying on either show. And on World Beyond, that's where I want people to die, and not enough people are dying.
No one dies on that show.
I'm rooting for them all to die. I am rooting against all of the main characters. All of them.
The Cheetah Girls.
I can't take it. Don't get me started with that show. I don't know if there's anyone on that show I care about. I just want them to find Rick. Other than that, it could be a bloodbath. But nobody's dying on the walk. Who died on The Walking Dead in the Whisper of War? Just the girl from Oceanside died in
that
the
we
finale.
Don't know her name. Yeah,
I forget her. Don't tweet us. You know what it is. Anyway,
yeah,
we'll call her Karen. I don't care. Cynthia, maybe. I who cares?
Oh, Cynthia sounds vaguely
familiar. That vaguely, yeah. Rosalie, I don't know. One of them, she's dead. Whatever. Who cares? She's dead. But other than that, like none of our the stars of the show are dying, and that's sort of what made the show interesting. Is when they died, and I know they're really good at survival now, so odds are they're not going to die. They're better at it.
Yeah.
But you know, someone on Fear's got to die. We don't care that much about those people. Obviously not Alicia and Morgan.
Morgan doesn't die.
And John, right, Morgan, I don't die. You know, there's people we don't want to die, but I feel like you got to bring on new characters and then, you know, not just kill the new characters, not just kill the red shirts. All right.
And that's what they're doing.
They're killing the red shirts. Speaking of red shirts... which reminds me of T-shirts, which reminds me of the Walking Dead T-shirts. It looks like we have almost enough people to possibly considering thinking about writing up a proposal to submit a suggestion for TV shirts, for the T-shirts with the logo of our podcast.
This is exciting.
It's almost a concept as much as it is a theory at this point, or a hypothesis, but we're getting closer.
We're getting there. Tweet us if you want to share.
Right. I guess we'll slip an Instagram DM at us because somebody did that who doesn't have Twitter. So I apologize if you're an Instagrammer and not a tweeter. A Twitter.
Twitter.
Okay. I told you. Are you holding on to something? I told you I was going to mention Splinter last week's episode. Okay?
Yes.
We talked about this episode last week. What episode am I talking about? Swear. Do you remember what episode Swear was from season 7?
Refresh my memory.
Swear is the bottle episode with Heath and...
And Tara.
Okay? Oh. According to IMDb, registered users rated that as the lowest ever episode of The Walking Dead with a score of 5.6.
Ooh.
Now, if you're sitting there going, is that out of 100? It could be. But no, it's out of 10. It's out of 10. Okay. So that is no longer the lowest rated episode.
Shut the front door.
Hold on now. Splinter is currently at a 5.2.
Oh.
Which became the lowest rated episode of The Walking Dead.
Really?
However, there's a new number one for lowest rated The Walking Dead episode ever. Beating Swear at 5.6. Beating Splinter. At 5.2.
What?
That episode is this week's episode, Diverged.
Oh my God.
Or as I like to call it, The Rat Hunter. So, all right, I'm going to give you those numbers again, Jamie, and I want everyone else to play along.
Okay.
All right. Think about a number in your head, scale of 1 to 10 with decimal points to a tenth of a power, to a tenth, rather. Okay. Swear. Tara and Heath. 5.6.
Okay.
Splinter, 5.2.
Okay.
Jamie, what is the score as of this podcast of Diverged?
I'm going to have to say 4.7.
Oh, so close.
Oh, what is it?
4.5.
Oh, man, I was so close.
1.1 lower than
the
Heath episode.
Oh, man.
The Heath episode that nobody cared about Heath.
This is terrible.
Yeah.
But now, I kind of agree.
Okay, so if you're an AMC Plus or an AMC Premier subscriber, there is a making of documentary on the making of this season, the 6-episode mini season. It is fascinating to watch them talk about the episodes, how they planned them, how they worked under CDC guidelines, how they had to redo the way they shoot things, how they have to redo the way they fight walkers. If you notice when... we'll talk about it, but Daryl fought the walker, the military walker.
Yes.
You don't see them together in the same shot, really. You see the walker on him, then you see him, then the walker, then him, because they can't be up close with each other. Because when you see the walker, Daryl's wearing a face shield.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, they both are.
They both are. Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I kicked the cable.
Kicking
the cable. Yeah, so it's really... But the thing is... When you watch it, you get really pumped up for the 6 episodes. right? And you feel bad because all these people worked really hard.
They did.
They had to write them in such a way that they tried to make them interesting with a limited cast. Remember, Daryl and Leah and Carol were three people in the episode.
Yeah.
And Carol was never in the scene with Leah, so it was always two and two. In this week's episode, it was just Jerry and Carol, or Carol and Daryl, but never the three of them.
Nope.
Right? Aaron and Father Gabriel did the show together, and then only added in, what's his name?
Robert Maze. Patrick.
Right. Maze was only in the episodes mostly with Father Gabriel, and then only a little bit at the end with the three of them together. Yep. So I think the episode that had the most people in it was the Maggie episode, the first episode back.
Oh, for sure. In the woods, there was the most people.
And I'm wondering, did they, I think they filmed that post-pandemic, right? But it almost looked like a pre-pandemic episode. So there were multiple people in the scenes. I guess they kept the distance. We didn't realize. Or they were all tested or whatever. But after that episode, it really thinned out. And I think even with the Here's Negan, you're going to see him with his wife. And then, like, one biker.
Yeah.
I think his name is Baxter, from what I read. It's something like that. And so, again, even though, like, Here's Negan should be this epic episode, I think it's going to be limited in terms of cast number.
Oh, man. It still looks great, though.
It does look great. So, Diverged, I can't imagine an episode that's going to get a lower score than that.
Oh, that's bad.
Okay, let's focus on one thing positive before we break down the episode. Jamie, give me some Norman news that you already shared with me. So I'm excited to hear about it.
So I'm very excited. So the seven highest paid TV actors of 2021 just came out.
Yeah.
And there's
Am I on the list?
I am sorry. You're not.
Oh.
I'm not either.
Oh, okay.
Oh. So there's seven people on the list. They are all women except for one person, which is my Norman. And he racks in $1 million per episode of The Walking Dead.
Wow.
I mean, he's up there with Reese Witherspoon and Nicole Kidman.
Okay.
I mean, this is big time.
I have a question.
Yes.
He gets $1 million per episode he's in, right? He doesn't get an episode per episode. Like, he's not paid for the whole season, right?
I would assume it's what he's in.
Okay, so
and Sunday he didn't have to do much.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe he only got like $400,000 for Diverged. I mean, he was half the star of the show. It's just, you know,
yeah.
Come on. I'm not going to say he mailed it in because he did what they gave him.
Yeah, but he looked cool. Really in there much?
Oh, all right. Let's excuse me, I burped. I'll have to edit that out.
Oh, no worries.
No worries. Okay, so let's talk about Diverged. I'm going to play a fun ID from someone we got to record for us. And
okay.
We'll be right back after this.
Hey, guys. It's Michael Covert from The Walking Dead. I play Abraham Ford. You are listening to Walker. What the fuck are you listening to?
There you go. That's even better.
We're going to use that.
We're going to use that. All right, here we go. Walkers and Talkers.
David Brody and Jamie.
Yep. Okay. All right, so let's talk about the episode. So, Jamie, if you were on IMDb, by the way, I am IMDb. That's me. I'm David.
if you were
rating it on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give it based on the fact it's averaging a 4.5?
God forgive me. I think like a 4.7, 4.8.
Okay, so your guess was what you would have given when you guessed.
Yeah, like that was pretty much what I was thinking. It was
okay. You know what? I like the show, and I like Daryl and Carol better than I like Tara and Heath, but there was at least action in that and walkers.
Yes, that's exactly what I was
thinking.
There
was a tease of the Oceanside community on the show. You know, like there was like the plot moved forward. This episode really had one thing, which we'll get into. One thing that I thought was really relevant to the future of the show or the past of the show, which I promise I'll mention, but it didn't. It's sort of, I don't know, people on Twitter either hated it and said you can skip it and not miss anything, except the one thing I'm going to point out, or they loved it because it was sort of a look into Carol's character and her mental well-being, and plus you got to see Jerry hug somebody.
I did like it for that. I didn't hate it, you know, because I love the show and the characters. But it was just, like you said, keyword action. There wasn't much action.
Right. And listen, you and I have both been hugged by Cooper Andrews.
Let me tell you, it is something special.
He is, yeah,
And he feeds you peach cobbler online.
He does. That, listen, if you're new to the podcast, we've had the good fortune of interviewing a lot of members of the cast of The Walking Dead. And really, nobody from Fear the Walking Dead, except Mips, my pal Sebastian, who was on the show and may or may not have died in season 4. May or may not have.
Yeah.
Now, we haven't interviewed Lenny James, right?
No, but I did get to meet him once and I almost started crying.
Okay, so yeah. So as of now, to my recollection, we have not interviewed anyone from Fear the Walking Dead. Now, we did meet very briefly the actor who plays Dwight.
Austin Emilio. Yeah.
But we didn't get a picture with him because it was too much money. Was that it? For some reason.
Did I get a picture? I got a picture.
Yeah, you spent all your money
but
on...
But then Jesus was right next to him, and Jesus was a hugger, and just Jesus gave amazing hugs, and he was so fun.
And he made me look tall.
Yeah, he was so tiny.
Let's just say he's not tall. He's not tall.
Tom Payne is
Tom
short.
Payne.
Very handsome, very nice.
Yes, and you can
hugger.
Be handsome and short. I'm just pointing out...
Just saying.
Just what just saying. Which I think is the... You know, I don't know what just saying has to do, you know, like if it's... Any different than sort of saying, but we are just saying.
Just saying.
Yeah, that's the case. Tom Payne.
Tom Payne.
So yeah, Fear the Walking Dead is not done right by us, and I don't think there's anybody I want to talk to on the World Beyond, on World Beyond. None of them.
Oh yeah, we could skip that.
I don't like. Oh, you guys want to interview? No. I will say that Diverged was about as good as most episodes of World Beyond.
Agreed.
There's a few here and there's the moment. I don't want to get into that.
There's
show.
Some action.
We'll watch times, it. We'll break it down. Listen, I hope when Fear is over this season and World Beyond comes back and we do weekly breakdowns, sort of, we're going to make them fun and funny. A lot of snappy banter.
Oh, yeah. Snappy.
We hope
sure.
that you will stick with us, even if you're not watching the show. Watch the show. We'll make it fun.
Yeah, we watch it. You watch it. You know, we'll talk about it.
Put in the 45 minutes without commercials and then listen to us for 45 minutes, you know, with a couple of commercials. And we'll do it. We'll do our best. Okay. All right. So let's talk about Diverged. It started off with Daryl and Carol and Dog returning from their big fight last week.
Yes.
Last week, the last time we saw them. In season 2, which interestingly enough, in the making of documentary, they filmed this episode before they filmed episode 2.
I remember. Yeah, they did say that they filmed this one first.
So they had to pretend they had a fight. I mean, they're acting.
Oh
so
yeah, they did.
Not a big deal, but they didn't film the fight scene yet, the argument scene. Although I'm not sure why they didn't film it all in the same week. But that being said, they did not film at the same time, so they barely talked to each other. Carol is having a problem opening up a canteen of water, right?
Yeah, a canteen.
Daryl gives her a Swiss Army knife, which she uses to open it up. She drinks from the water bottle, gives the water bottle back to Daryl, not the Swiss Army knife, by the way, which I thought was kind of weird. You wouldn't give him back his knife. Hmm. Normally, you would open up the bottle and immediately hand back the tool.
You
right?
should, right? Yeah,
before
especially
you take
in
a drink.
Apocalypse.
Here you go, thanks. She doesn't do that. Now, did you notice what Daryl did once he got the water canteen back?
What did he do?
He let Dog drink out of it.
Oh, yeah, he did let Dog drink out of it. They gave him water.
Which I thought was his way of sticking it to Carol. Like, here's your canteen back. I let my dog drink out of it.
Speaking of Dog, really quick side note.
Oh, yes. Major news.
Major news, guys. So last week on Talking Dead, they, you know how they always debut like their new like AMC Walking Dead products, whatever?
Yeah.
They have a Pop Funko Dog doll. He's number 891, just called Dog, and he looks like little Dog.
I love
dog.
That you gave away the 891. That's for all you collectors out there.
For all you collectors out there.
Right now, Marcus is sitting home going, what number was it? Tanya's going, what? Please mention the number.
Marcus and Tanya, it's 891, Dog. And as soon as Chris held him up on TV, I ordered him, and he's sitting in front of me right now. And he's so tiny and cute.
All right. By the way, I'm going to sit just because... Because he's a new listener, I'm gonna go on a limb and say that Mr. Mallet, Roger Mallet, already knew the number. He was like, "I know it's 891."
I'm just in case you never know, if someone wants to buy Dog.
Right, and 6 months from now, if the Reaper ever catches up, he's gonna go, "Oh yeah, I've had that toy for 6 months."
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. So give a shout out to those people. So she ends up holding on to the Swiss Army knife, which was Leah's.
Yeah.
So we'll
and Carol does not know that.
No, she doesn't. And so I don't know if Daryl was cognizant of that, because that's awkward. Like, oh, here's my ex-girlfriend's pocket knife.
Yeah, that is so uncomfortable.
Now, refresh my memory. When did Leah give him that pocket knife?
I think they were cutting fish up, or they were doing something, and I think she gave it to him. And okay. I actually didn't realize it was her knife until Talking Dead.
Right. And I don't, we'll get to it later, but yeah. There's initials on it that are military slogan.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yep.
And okay, so I'll get to that later. He offers her a ride back to Alexandria on his bike, and she says, no, I'm good. Good.
Burn.
And she says, well, you're not coming back with me? And he says, no, I got stuff to do. But he was willing to drive her back to Alexandria, which I thought was nice. So then, he goes to say something, and she says, you don't need to apologize, really. I'm good. And he says, I wasn't going to apologize. I was just going to wish you good luck.
Oh, that was cringe. That was uncomfortable.
She's like, oh, because I thought you were, okay.
Okay, never mind. I got to go. Bye.
I do want to point out this: the vibe was like a Nora Ephron movie. Like, you know, like You've Got Mail kind of thing from the 90s. Like Sleepless in Seattle.
You've Got Mail.
Like it's the whole like friendship, romance thing. Like later on in the episode when I'll get to it later, but when they say goodbye to each other at the very end. Okay, we'll talk about that when I don't want to jump ahead.
All right.
But it's getting to be not a Walking Dead show and more of a like, will they or won't they?
A little bit of that.
Anyway, they come to a fork in the road, literally. And she's going to the right. He's going to the left. And Dog follows Carol.
I can't believe that. That's the takeaway. Yeah. I'm like, and Daryl got salty over that. He did not like
it. Yeah, he's like, son of a bitch.
He's like, nice.
I mean, I don't blame him for being upset.
I'd be like, hey, Dog, come here. Maybe, I want Dog with me.
Maybe the dog is loyal to the Swiss Army knife.
Maybe he can smell it.
How about that? Maybe he just was like, oh, she has the Swiss Army knife.
She's the boss.
Right. Reminds me of Leah. Maybe she was only with Daryl because he had the knife.
Oh, could you imagine?
Yes, I just said it.
Yes, you did imagine.
That's me imagining it. All right. Carol walks up to Jerry, who's farming, and says she'd like to help with the fishery or whatever else. And he says, it's all done. You know, while you were out, no problem. I think they treat Carol like you're special. We get it. You're old school, part of the group. You're one of the leaders. You're the reason why people keep dying. And I don't think they expect her to be a laborer.
I get that vibe too. But I think he calls her dude. He's like, we're a good dude. Hey,
well, he
dude.
Calls everybody dude.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, dude. Yeah, it's up, dude. she's like, but I need to fix something. I got to fix something.
She needs to feel needed.
Right. And she needs to fix something because she can't fix herself. Uh-oh. That was me.
Oh.
That was me. That was me being philosophical.
It's true, though.
So then she tells the story about the rock soup, which is an old, old story. I don't know if you ever heard it.
Oh, yeah, the stone soup, yeah.
Stone soup. And Jerry's like, okay, great. Like, I don't care. Like, I was just saying hi. It's like when you say, hey, how you feeling? And people will give you a whole story about how they're feeling. He doesn't really want to hear this. He's like, no,
too
I
much.
Get it.
Too much.
You know, I get, like, you know. Right. Although, the property brother, who's on Talking Dead, had an interesting theory about the stone soup, which we'll get to later. So after that awkward scene, Daryl is riding his motorcycle in the woods somewhere, and his bike seems to run out of gas. It just stops.
Yes.
Right? He sees that one of the hoses has a leak. Now, if you're a car owner or a motorcycle owner, you tend to check out your car safety. But with a motorcycle especially, and you're a motorcycle rider, and it's the apocalypse, and you're Daryl.
Yeah.
You should probably check your hoses and everything before you go off on a mission into the woods.
Check your hose.
Especially when the bike wasn't starting easily from three episodes ago.
Yes.
So it's a little surprising he didn't notice that his hose was leaking down the side of his motorcycle. That seems weird to me. And I don't think it just started leaking then.
Oh, no. It had been happening.
Now, was that a fuel line? If you're a motorcycle enthusiast, let me just point out, I don't really want the answer. I'm just spitballing here. But whatever it was, when he replaces the hose, did any of us see him replace the fluid? In other words,
that's what I was thinking.
If it was gasoline, right? Let's say that was the gasoline hose, okay?
Yeah.
Did we see him get gas from anywhere? Because haven't we established 12, 13 years into the apocalypse, gas goes bad?
Gas goes bad.
So where is he continuing to find gas unless he went over to the Fear Set and got some of the oil?
That's true.
But that's not refined, so you couldn't put it in your motorcycle. So I don't know where he's getting gas for his motorcycle. So I'm calling hose gas bullshit. By the way, who hasn't had a little hose gas? I had a little this weekend. How about you, Jamie?
No, I did not have hose gas.
Oh, what about when you broke your ass? Did you have that problem?
Maybe.
Okay. But like all episodes of The Walking Dead, if you're in some mode of transportation, something's going to go wrong. Car's going to get a flat tire. A tree is going to be in the way. You know, something's going to happen.
Side impact bullshit.
Side impact. Absolutely. By the way, I was watching John Wick 2 this weekend with my mom, who loves the action movies. Now, I haven't seen John Wick 1. And by the way, it's not called John Wick 1. Shame on me. I'm a stickler for that, too. So I haven't seen John Wick, but I watched 2 because she said, "Nah, you'll figure it out." And I did, but now I have to watch 1 and 3.
That's a lot to figure out.
However, there was reverse side impact bullshit in John Wick 2 at the beginning.
What?
You're like, what is reverse side impact bullshit? I'll tell you. So just a reminder or some news for those of you just joining. Side impact bullshit is when someone's trying to get away, right? Or you want to capture somebody. And then a car comes flying down a side street just at the perfect time to side impact a car.
T-bones them.
Right. Now, there's absolutely no way you could fly down a street, a side street at full speed and perfectly hit a car. It happened on Homeland that pissed me off because someone, a character on the show, I'm not going to spoil it, is just driving down a road. Just driving down a road, which they wouldn't. It's not a road they drive down every day. And out of nowhere, a car flies down the side street and hits them. There's no way that happens. On The Walking Dead, was it somebody slammed into Negan's car or Rick's car?
Yes, that was the scene I was thinking. I think somebody, didn't Negan have a charger?
Yeah, I think so.
And somebody slammed into that.
Right. You couldn't possibly time it at that kind of speed perfectly. But it's a TV show, but you have to suspend disbelief. But we refer to it as side impact bullshit. Oh, and the episode with the truck with all the speakers on it? When Daryl ran the school bus into it?
Yes, I remember that episode,
There's
too.
No way that happens.
No way.
Because he didn't know the truck was coming.
No, okay. They didn't.
So reverse side impact bullshit. There's a bad guy trying to get away from John Wick. John Wick goes around the block the guy's going down. So he goes, let's say, like 3 blocks past the block he's going down.
Okay.
Makes a right and a right. So now he's on the main street, right? The bad guy is on the side street. He flies down the main street to where when the bad guy comes flying out of the side street, he flies into the side of John Wick's car because John Wick wanted him to. It wasn't that the bad guy timed his driving to crash into John Wick. John Wick drove in front of him at full speed, timing out somehow the guy coming out of a side street that he should have gotten down faster. Then John Wick was able to go around the block, around the block, around the block.
There's no way.
There's no way.
That's total reverse.
Total reverse side impact bullshit. What does that do with The Walking Dead? Really not a lot. Really not a lot. But that's the beauty of what we do here.
Yeah.
That's it. And by the way, if you like that kind of thing, that is what an hour and a half of the Brooklyn Boys podcast is every week. Not side impact bullshit. Just me, going off on tangents and Scary going, oh, okay. Oh, slow down, Brody. At some point, Scary has to side impact me to stop me. Okay. So we're watching Carol making soup, and she's using the Swiss Army knife. By the way, she finds like 15 things to do with the Swiss Army knife because she has it. So it's like, really handy.
And, she's like, I like this thing.
And throughout the episode, we'll get to Daryl. So she's making soup. Dog starts wrecking the house, knocking everything over.
He was a bad dog.
Right.
He's never been a bad dog.
Now, at first, I thought he was just being a dick, but he was upset because he hurt a rat.
Yeah.
So she builds Carol builds a rat trap. Now, it was like one of those montage scenes, like Rocky training for the big fight.
She was like freaking MacGyver building this thing.
Yeah, it was like, it was like the old show, the A-Team, when they're like, they're building, it was like every show where they're building something for the big fight. They're building a contraption, a catapult. So it's you're thinking like, you know, they, like you see like parts being handed from one person to another and welding, right? And like hammering, like a big montage scene, except she's putting together a cardboard rat trap out of a box.
With string and something.
Right? And you know, like, bum, 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 bum. There's no like, there's nothing powerful happening. People aren't struggling to carry stuff. None of that. Just her building a cardboard box. And it's for a montage scene? Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
Besides, as bad as the episode was, just show it in real time. What else you got to show me? Nothing.
Nothing. You got nothing.
Show me her cutting cardboard with the Swiss Army knife. That coincidentally, by the way, Swiss Army knife bullshit that she had it. So she builds the box. Okay. She decides to go look for ingredients for her soup. Okay?
Yep.
So she goes into the field with her little red bucket, which, by the way, Easter egg.
Oh, yes.
In the first episode of one of the first episodes of The Walking Dead in season one, Amy brings back fish in the same little red bucket.
I love it.
So a little bit of a nod to the first season.
And then she dies.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Spoiler, Amy's she dead. Died in the first
Amy's
season.
Amy's dead.
Amy's dead. So she sees a walker. Now, again, there's a walker out of nowhere. Then all of a sudden, there's 20 walkers.
There's a lot of walkers. I was like, what? What happened?
But they're all nicely
on?
Spaced out.
Yeah, yeah.
They're
COVID,
all socially
you know.
Distancing the walkers.
They are socially distanced walkers.
They're all 6 feet away from each other. Also, by the way, in the documentary, they show you how Greg Nicotero redesigned the way walker makeup is applied, where it's only 45 minutes now instead of an hour and a half.
Whoa.
It's really cool. Watch the documentary. I'm sure it's available somewhere.
Okay.
So these socially distanced walkers. So Carol looks at them. She's like, I'm going to kill all of you now. She could have walked away. She kills them all one at a time. Puts everything down, takes out her knife. And she's like, fuck, I'm going to kill all these people.
She did.
All the walkers who used to be people. Sorry. That was the height of the action. But guess what? Because it's this episode, they don't show it. They show one kill.
Yeah.
And then they show her covered in blood.
And that was it. And she's just covered
like a hot
mess
express.
You could
have given me some action.
I know. Nothing.
You know why? Because they don't want to show them killing walkers up close because the walkers will spit on her.
But
why couldn't they be wearing mouth guards under their, you know, and nose guards?
I guess they could be.
They could wear a mask under the mask. And not like chin diapers, like really on your face.
Chin diapers.
That's when people wear the mask on their chin.
Yes.
And they think they're doing somebody a favor.
They're not.
Or they have like sort of covering their mouth, but not their nose. That doesn't count. All right.
I agree with you.
I know you do. That's why I let you do the podcast with me.
Hardcore.
Yeah. Okay. So Daryl finds an old abandoned car and he's looking under the engine for hoses for his motorcycle. No luck. Then he finds a truck. No luck. Then he finds a car with a walker in it. Has he found like a car graveyard?
That you know what? I thought, I was like, oh shit, there's a car, and there's a car, and there's a car. I'm like, where are all these cars coming from?
There's been no vehicles in the area. They haven't shown a vehicle in a while.
And they've been in this area for a long time.
Right.
And all of a sudden, they're all sitting here.
Right. So there's a walker in the car, and the car just happens to be on the ledge of a cliff.
Of course it does.
He's not in the other cars. He's in the one on the cliff.
That's where he has to be. We know this.
So Daryl goes under the car to get the hose, and the walker is looking around for him because he just saw him. He doesn't see him. So he's looking around in the car from side to side for where Daryl could be. And as he moves to one side, the car is tilting like it's going to go over the cliff.
My God.
Daryl kicks the car on the side on the non-cliff side to get him to come to that side.
I thought that was pretty smart.
Yeah, it was smart. Except why would you climb under a car that you can't go out the other side? In other words, if a walker was coming from where his feet are, he wouldn't be able to go the other way to get away from it.
He'd be stuck.
That doesn't seem like a smart move to me. At the very least, you could have pushed the car over the cliff and then walked down.
You needed that hose.
But you could have gotten the hose later. Push it off the cliff. And besides, you just found three cars. You'll find more.
Yeah, exactly.
They seem to be everywhere in this episode. The other thing is, and again, this is one of those things where you go, there's an actor playing the walker, so you have to expect that. It just didn't sit right with me. No pun intended for what I'm going to say.
Okay.
At some point, the walker was in the front seat, right?
Yeah, then he crawled to the back seat.
He crawled to the back seat like a normal zombie would. But go back and watch the episode. When he's in the back seat and he wants to climb to the front seat, he puts a hand on each of the seats like you would if you were like...
What?
if you wanted to talk, right, if you wanted to talk to the people in the front seat, you'd put your left hand on the driver's seat and your right hand on the passenger seat.
Oh no,
and
sir,
pull your front. You'd pull your front. He doesn't like crawl like on his elbows into the front
he
seat.
He should just face plant into the back seat.
Right. Well,
he
did face plant into the front into the back seat. Yeah. But when he wants to go back to the front, back to the front. That's Metallica. Back to the front. when he wants to go to the front seat, he does the two-handed thing on the seat backs, and it looks so human.
Oh, no, I don't like that.
Someone should have noticed that. Other than David Brody, your friendly neighborhood bullshit spotter.
Friendly neighborhood.
Right. Well, I'm friendly and I live in the neighborhood. Okay. So he gets the hose. Well, okay. There's your excitement. Carol comes back to Alexandria. She's covered in blood. He says, "You okay?" She says, "Yep, absolutely." Like, that's normal.
She's so not okay.
At that point, though, because Jerry references it later in the episode, at that point, she's covered in blood and Daryl's not there. Jerry say something like, "Hey, where's Daryl?"
I was kind of waiting for him to say, "Hey, where's Daryl at?"
But he doesn't.
Then he never did.
I feel like Jerry read the script. I feel like Jerry knew. If you looked around, by the way, I know you want to have limited cast members, but there were no extras walking around.
No, none.
Couldn't you have some of the people on the crew walk around in the background, sweeping the street in the distance? Like, just make it look like there's more people there. Otherwise, it looks like Carol and Jerry, the only people in Alexandria, when everyone's
like
supposed
that.
To be fixing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't you have someone like 100 feet away fixing something?
Just in the distance, background.
And why is Carol the first one to fix a solar panel? That seems like a priority fix.
You would think so, and they were just letting it sit there, and I'm like, well, that's weird.
Okay, Daryl gets back to his motorcycle, and he's looking for his Swiss Army knife to fix the hose, and he realizes he gave it to Carol. He has a little flashback. He gave it to Carol.
He had a damn it look on his face.
In case we didn't remember. Isn't it a little bit of bullshit that the one day he needs a Swiss Army knife, he doesn't have it? And more importantly, before he met Leah, did he not have a knife on him? Now, he takes out his big knife.
He has that big one in his pocket.
But he can't use it as a screwdriver.
No.
He needs a Swiss Army knife. Or in this case, an American Army knife, because clearly she was in some form of service. I know that's not why they call them Swiss Army knives, so please don't.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, Carol goes back to her house after she fixes the solar panel, and it automatically has electricity. The solar panel, that one panel she fixed, had absorbed enough electricity into the battery to light her house. And you have to think, was that just the one panel for her house?
I don't know. I got the vibe that it may have been the whole community, but she at that moment, I guess, tested it out.
And had enough power to light her whole house. Nope.
Well, at least the kitchen.
I'm calling solar panel bullshit. Okay. So at this point, at least in the streaming, I'm assuming it was the same on television when you came back from commercial.
Yeah.
You get the warning about extreme violence. Not suitable for all children. So I'm thinking, we're going to see some action now. We're going to see some violence and some action.
Yeah.
That didn't happen.
No, it didn't.
Okay. Daryl is in the woods and he's on the railroad tracks. By the way, they said in the documentary I watched that they never left the set of The Walking Dead. So the 2 acres that they own were the only 2 acres they filmed all 6 episodes on.
Wow.
So the storefront that Father Gabriel and Aaron try to get into was a previously used storefront.
Makes sense.
And the railroad tracks are the same friggin' railroad tracks every time they show railroad tracks.
Oh my God.
Like when Tyrese was with the baby.
Wow.
Right? Like it's the same railroad tracks they keep showing. That scene was probably the exact same spot of the Tyrese railroad track scene. Right?
Probably.
Not the same part of the tracks where Dr. Denise gets shot in the eye. Spoiler, Dr. Denise is dead.
She's dead.
So he's by the railroad tracks, which apparently lead to getting home. But as we know, you're not supposed to stay on the tracks because then you could get picked off by bad people who are waiting by the railroad tracks.
That's what I thought, man. I'm like, get off the side of the road. Go. Good.
Right.
Right in open field.
Now, I know he wants to take the shortest path pushing the motorcycle.
Yeah.
Right? But why would you go on the tracks? Because your motorcycle's going
to
go...
And call attention to everybody and everything.
Right. So, this is where the bullshit gets thicker. He uses his binoculars and he sees something that catches his interest. So he walks, somehow he walks through the walkers to the point where he's now leading them away. They're following him. He's limping, but he's walking faster than they are.
Wait, I had a question.
Yeah.
He wasn't limping. What happened that all of a sudden he was limping real bad?
Well, I guess he sort of twisted his ankle maybe when he fell in the pit.
Oh, because we didn't really see that.
But it looked like he was limping a little before he fell in the pit, and then he was definitely limping after the pit. Anyway,
limping quite bad, yeah.
Right, so he's walking quickly, so the walkers are behind him. He's walking faster than they are. So he gets a bit of a lead, okay? He seems to be interested in one walker who's on the other side of a pit. When that walker sees Daryl, he walks towards the pit, falls into the pit onto a tree, and gets caught on the tree.
Oh, yeah.
Daryl slides into the pit, which is unlike Daryl. Oh, I know why. He stepped on a branch, which got everyone's attention.
Oh, crunch, and everybody looked.
Daryl would never do that.
No, he's a tracker.
So he slides into the pit, and he happens to kick a twig that releases the walker from the tree. Also, very unlike him.
Yeah.
The walker that he kills happens to be a soldier, which is probably what he saw in his binoculars, which is why he wanted to go towards this walker. The walker is covered in supply bags, like storage bags.
Convenient.
Convenient, yes. Army soldier convenience bullshit. He finds a screwdriver type tool in the guy's bag. Which convenient bullshit.
And food.
And food, right? Okay. And he doesn't get to get everything out once he kills him because the other walkers start falling into the pit.
Oh, yeah, they were coming down hard. Right. Yeah.
Okay. He goes back to his motorcycle to repair it. And another walker with his legs blown off is crawling towards Daryl, right?
Yep.
That walker is also an army, some kind of military personnel. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Convenience.
With more supplies on him. If both walkers had legs, I would say to you, how are two army walkers in the same area? Wouldn't they have, like, wandered off in the course of 12 years?
You would think so.
Even if they died recently, the odds are they wouldn't be in the same area. However, this walker has no legs. Which means he's been crawling around that area, not making a lot of progress.
He can't get anywhere.
Even if he just lost his legs, the other walker would have walked away at some point.
You would think so. Well, you would think so.
So that made me very suspicious. That gets talked about on Talking Dead. When we recap that in a few minutes, it will get referenced because people on the show also noticed that. So if you guys noticed it, then we're on team bullshit, army soldier bullshit. And again, if they were not the army, I apologize. I'm just saying there was some form of military. So yes. Sorry about that. Okay. Back to Carol. She's still making soup. The rat goes in the trap. For some reason, now she lifts the box up.
What an idiot. I literally screamed, what are you doing?
You have to slide cardboard under it. Or when you built the trap, there should have been a bottom, so you can take it out like a cake under a dome.
Yeah, or slide it out the garage door.
Right, you don't open the... What did you think was going to happen? The rat's going to go, you caught me. Hands up.
you got me.
I'm actually the rat from Ratatouille. Let me help you make your soup.
Ratatouille.
At any point, did you think the rat was going to end up in the soup?
Several times.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So for the next few minutes, it becomes a Carol trying to catch the rat episode.
Yeah, all through the kitchen, under cabinets.
Right. All she had to do was reset the trap. It's going to go back in the trap.
What'd she bait it with? Like food? Did she have
food? Lettuce?
Or snacks?
Whatever. Something. Just do it again. The rat's not thinking, that's a trap. Just put the trap back. No, she's going to go chasing for it. She chases it into a hole in the wall. Okay? So the rat's gone for now. Now, we've already seen in the trailer, thanks trailer guy, last week, we've seen her cutting the wall up with what? With what? The Swiss Army knife.
Oh, man. She can't stop using that thing. My God.
It's good for everything. Good thing she had, she had a bottle of wine. She could have used the corkscrew, open up the bottle of wine.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Carol does a scene with Dog where she's wondering if she should just leave and get out of everybody's hair for good. She's talking to Dog. So Dog is the foil for her to, like, talk out loud.
Oh, Dog.
So we can hear poor Carol lamenting her life.
Loyal Dog.
Dog clearly misses him, and she says, I miss him too.
I know.
Miss him too. Then sleep with him! And I'm not saying sex is the mean all, the be-all end-all to a relationship. Don't yes. tweet me. I'm just saying, it's been 12 years. If you yeah. like the guy, stop fighting with him. You get a yeah. spinoff with the guy.
Yeah.
So Daryl's still working on his motorcycle. It's nighttime. He fixes the motorcycle, and he's heading home. So at some point tomorrow, he's going to show up. Okay. The dog wakes Carol up. He hears the rat. She hears the rat in the wall. Lucky for her, by the way. I'm calling sheetrock bullshit. Now, when you paint sheetrock, it becomes hard like a wall.
Yeah.
But I don't know how it works. I'll Google it at some point. But when sheetrock is unpainted, it's you can punch your way through it. You can cut through it. You can't really cut through a wall once it's painted, which it makes it amazing. I've always wondered that. I'm going to look it up. You don't need to tweet me.
I'm going to look it up.
Look it up. So she starts cutting holes in the wall to try to find the rat. Now, if you've ever seen a wall with no sheetrock, which you do once she takes all the sheetrock down, for the most part, it's vertical beams.
Just steel beams?
Wooden beams.
Or wooden, yeah.
Yeah. Unless the rat climbs up wood vertically, it's probably going to be at the bottom of the wall.
That's right. You would think it would be.
And if the studs are in the wall, the studs are there, to the base, then the rat can't go anywhere except the little section where the hole is to the stud blocking him.
Yep.
Right? Unless he ate through one of the studs, which I don't think the rat's going to do.
I don't think he's going to do that.
Now, she stuffed up the hole, but she didn't put poison in the hole. All she had to do was... Okay. All she had to do was take the scarf out of the hole, and the rat would have come back out of the hole. But instead, she starts cutting holes at eye level. The rat is not 6 feet in the air.
Thank you. That's what I thought. I'm like, what is she doing? This is at eye level right here.
Right. How's she going to catch the rat? Now, if she wanted to cut a hole so she could see, like, okay, is the rat between two of the beams? And she could stick a broom down and kill it, if that's what she wanted to do. But what was the point? So she starts pulling the wall apart. She throws the rack down. Now her only mission in life to be a successful human being is to rip the wall apart, which she pretty much does.
She does.
The dog was looking at her like she's an idiot. The dog's thinking, the rat's not at eye level. The rat's on the ground. What are you doing? Okay. All right. So I'm thinking, at this point, I'm thinking, boy, they ran out of ideas for episodes. And this wasn't the last episode filmed.
No, it wasn't.
It was one of the first.
That's sad.
And somebody took credit for writing this episode. They were on Talking Dead bragging.
They were.
Okay, next day, Jerry comes by to check on her. Even though he didn't come by the day she was covered in blood. And by the way, nobody else comes by because no one else is there. The town is empty. Right? A day later, nobody is back.
So weird.
He sees the wall is destroyed and she says, I'm fixing it. She tells him that yesterday was a terrible day, one of her worst. And Jerry says, Ezekiel has a saying for everything. He says, a friend is someone who thinks you're perfect, even if everyone else thinks you're broken. Which is a great saying.
Aww.
She says, I didn't even tell you why I had a bad day yesterday. And he says, I noticed Daryl didn't come back with you. But you didn't ask how Daryl was. Nor did you ask if Daryl was ever coming back. Nobody in the entire town, all the survivors, Maggie, anybody, nobody thought to say, hey, it's Daryl.
Is he still alive?
Right. Is he out hunting? What's he doing? Where is he? Was he coming back? Does he need help? Why are you covered in blood?
Whose blood is that?
So she says, what if you're actually broke and your friends are the last ones to realize it? And he says, I don't have an expression for that. And he just gives her a hug. I'm like, you gotta love Jerry. You gotta love Jerry.
Jerry is so sweet.
At that point, the rat runs out. And of course, the rat runs out then. You're like, wah, wah. So Jerry leaves. Daryl rolls into town on his motorcycle. And of course, there's no one else there when he rolls up. Nobody sees him. Who opened the gate for him? Jerry?
I was thinking, who waved? Who let him in?
Right.
You know?
Right. Dog goes running over to him. Daryl is a mess. And she says, what the hell happened to you? Now, I don't remember Daryl being cleaned up when she left him.
He kind of always looks like that.
And he says, I was going to ask you the same thing. Now, keep in mind, that's after she took the blood off of herself.
I know.
The day later.
She didn't look a little rough, though. The hair, her clothes.
She hadn't changed her clothes since the day before, but she did get the blood off her face.
Yes, she did.
Anyway, so they both are like, yeah, the usual. They engage in small talk. She says, oh, I forgot to give you back the Swiss Army knife. He says, keep it. Now, on Talking Dead, they thought that was his way of letting go of Leah.
Yeah.
Like, right, but you don't get rid of Leah by giving the knife to your new girly friend.
Yeah, who now you're going to see her use it all the time, and it may trigger him.
Right. Now, Daryl walks over to the gate. He has a gate where he lives, I guess, behind the gate.
Yeah.
And he looks back for a second, like he did with Leah. When Leah looked back and he looked back and they hooked up.
They kept going.
He looked back and Carol wasn't there. She didn't like go, oh, one more thing, or like try to make conversation. Carol went into the garage. She closed the door like no big deal.
She did close that door pretty fast.
So I'm thinking Daryl may have a soft spot for her, which is why his frustration is coming out. And I don't think she's there. I think she's too effed up to have a relationship.
She is. She's a hot mess express right now, especially this episode.
Right. So there you go. All right. We've referenced Talking Dead a whole lot. I got to say, Talking Dead was better than the episode. I got a lot more out of Talking Dead, so let's recap Talking Dead right after this.
Hey, this is Cooper Andrews, Jerry from The Walking Dead, and you are listening to Walkers and Talkers with David Brody and Jamie.
All right, Jamie, let's talk Talking Dead. Melissa McBride, Cooper Andrews, writer David Boyd, and Property Brothers twin Drew Scott. So they did show an in memoriam this time, which was good. Because last week nobody died, nothing died.
I'm glad to have this back.
Glad to have it back. Carol and Daryl, in memoriam it says, Carol and Daryl have hit a wall. Hopefully they straighten things out before the spinoff. That would be awkward. I thought that was hilarious.
That was funny. I laughed.
We're all thinking that. They're not going to die, and they're not going to stay angry at each other.
No, because you can't have a spinoff if you're dying or you're angry.
Which also leads me again to a point I think I brought up in an earlier episode. If they're going to leave together, Connie has to die, right?
Oh.
Because he's mentally sort of laying the groundwork for a relationship with Connie.
Or he's going to have to let her go too.
Right. So I'm just putting that out there. Anyway,
interesting.
Drew Scott made a similar observation about Daryl not turning back, but and how it was like the Leah situation, except he said it was the way he didn't go back to her right away. In other words, Daryl didn't look back fast enough to find Leah, and he looked back now for Carol. Where I took it as Carol blew him off. I was looking at more of a Carol thing.
That's kind of how I was looking at it. Like, Carol's like, okay, bye.
Right.
Because she offered him soup. He's like, nah.
Yeah. Now, Cooper Andrews seemed to have analyzed every scene beautifully, where Chris Hardwick was said to him, you know, you should just be on every episode. You break down the episodes.
He did good.
And to the point where the writer was like giving him thumbs up, going, yes, that's what I meant. So he explains the stone soup thing in that Carol has a master plan, but we don't see all the ingredients going in. We know that she wanted to kill Alpha, but we didn't know that she was going to release Negan. That she has these little ingredients that she throws together to make stone soup. We only see the stone. Which I thought was interesting.
I did too.
Yes. The writer, David, said that he mentioned the red bucket and Amy. He said that was an Easter egg. Drew Scott says, I'm wondering why there were two military men in the woods in the same area, like I said earlier. He says, I wonder if there's a military base in the area that the survivors aren't aware of. And David, the writer, put two thumbs up. He wouldn't say anything, but he gave two thumbs up.
He did.
So now I'm like, well, I don't understand. They and the Whisperers explored the area. Now, I know that he and Carol were going off in a direction looking for food, but how far could they have gotten? And where did Daryl go on his motorcycle when it was working that he came up possibly near a military base, right?
Yeah.
Now, since we know that the actress who plays Leah posted on her Instagram a picture of herself with some kind of military tattoo on her arm.
Yeah.
She may be part of that military group. And that may be where she went that she disappeared. Maybe she went back to them. Maybe she was AWOL, right?
Absent without leave.
Do you know what AWOL stands for, right?
I forget.
Absent without leave. In other words.
Oh, yeah.
You weren't supposed to do that.
You're not allowed.
So did they come and capture her and take her back? Right? Like, that's maybe where she got the weapon from. She's a military type. That's how she was able to subdue Daryl. Also, on the Army knife, the FS on the Army knife stands for Fortitudo Salutis.
Ooh.
It's fortitude. Salute to fortitude, maybe? Anyway, I knew what it was. I looked it up. Now I forget. But it's a military
term.
Expression. So she's obviously military, and she may have something to do with those soldiers.
That makes a lot of sense now with the Army knife and all that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. There you go. Drew said he was worried about Norman Reedus being under the car filming that scene. And Chris Hardwick says, he's not going to die. He's got a spinoff.
He did.
Which is what, we've all said. Anyway,
going anywhere.
I want your opinion on the zoomed in listener and listener question.
Okay.
Do you remember the question?
I forget what. What was the question again?
Okay. They have an opportunity to ask anyone on the planet, on the show, come on the show and ask a question. They can then preview the questions. It isn't like they're surprising them and randomly.
And they do preview the questions.
Right. So the question was, in real life, the dog's name is Seven, by the way.
Yes.
Does dog like Norman or Melissa better?
That you're right. That was the question.
Okay. Who the hell cares?
Who the hell approved that question?
And more importantly, how bad were the questions?
That's the one that won.
Right. I'm going to give that question 4.5 on IMDb.
I did think, what a waste of a question.
Instead of asking, like, how they filmed certain scenes during the pandemic. Now, look, maybe she didn't see the episode, right? Maybe because the episode, they filmed Talking Dead in advance.
Oh, yeah, they filmed it before.
So she's got to ask a generic question. But maybe ask something about, like, did you know in the documentary that some of the cast and crew were living in the homes on the main street of Alexandria?
Yes, very cool.
Right? That's a question. Hey, where's everybody living?
Yeah, what was it like in there? Who was your roommate?
Right. Did everyone get tested? Right? Well, what's the protocol? Give me something that you're interested in. Right? Were you quarantined from your family to film the episodes?
Yeah,
give me something. Ask about the upcoming filming. Like, is it still pandemic conditions on the set? Are you still having a problem filming? Because season 11, you would imagine every episode is in two people. So how are they filming? Are they so good at pandemic filming, they got better at it, and that they're all testing and, you know, wearing masks between shots? I would want to know that. Like, what's the filming like? No, who does dog like better? Are you that much of a loser? Are you that much of a loser that you're fangirling the dog? Like, oh my God, Nick Jonas. Like, who are your inspirations? What's your favorite color? I gotta know.
Much of a loser.
I gotta know the favorite colors of everyone in BTS.
That's important to some people.
If you're 11, this is a grown woman. Why does it move anyone's life along to know? And then Carol's like, I think he likes Norman better. And David, the writer's pointing at Carol.
He kept pointing at Melissa.
Melissa.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I don't know. Maybe he likes, this person. And he's like, no, it's you, Carol. Melissa. And she's like, yeah. So there was like way too much time debating who the fuck cares?
It got awkward. It was like, no, not
it's
me.
A dog.
Well, okay, it's me.
It's not a person. It's a dog.
Yeah.
Who cares who the dog likes? Whoever smells more like roast beef.
Who had treats. That's what Melissa says. She's like, well, I don't always have treats, so.
So I'm giving a 4.5 to the girl who asked your big moment. Spotlight on you.
Your big moment.
To move the world of The Walking Dead along. And I have a question. Who did the dog? You think maybe they gave her the question? I'm going to, you know what that reminds me of?
What?
So I went to a taping of a TV show called That Metal Show. Okay.
Okay.
It was a show hosted by Eddie Trunk and a couple other guys. It was on VH1, and it was all about 80s metal. They would interview people who were 80s musicians, like, you know, Slayer and Def Leppard and Metallica and Anthrax and Warrant and Poison, and bands from that era were on that show. And when you were waiting online, they would give you a piece of paper, a little like a postcard, and you'd fill out questions you wanted to ask. Okay?
Okay.
And then what they would do is either they would take some of those questions, right, and may or may not use them. They would make you think they were using them. I don't know. And then pick random people they wanted, give them a card with the question on it, and they would ask the question as if it was their question. But it wasn't.
Oh, it wasn't your own question.
So people would stand up and go, yeah. So on the third, and they would look down at the card, on the third album.
Oh my God.
And you're like, that person does not care one bit about that answer.
Oh, that's awkward.
They would stage the questions. At least that was the impression I got. Because the one guy was like, was that your question? He's like, no, dude, they handed me the question. I'm like, oh, okay. So did they give her that question? Did they like put her on and say, hey, could you, like, did they do that on the show?
That's
low hanging
fruit, if that's what The Walking Dead came up
yeah,
with.
Yeah, hey, can you ask about, yeah, I'll do that. No,
that's
she hasn't,
easy.
They probably like, listen, if you don't tell anybody that we told you to do that, we'll give you prizes. Because they gave her the prizes.
They I'm did like, give her the prizes.
And like, they gave you prizes for that bullshit. Bullshit.
She got a dog, so, you know.
Right. All right. Writer Nicole Morante Matthews wasn't on the show, but they listed her in the Talking Dead information section.
Yeah.
But, what do they call that?
The credits?
No. On Talking Dead. Inside the Dead.
Oh, yeah.
They said that her military, that the Swiss Army knife is a tease for Leah's military past. So there you go. They gave us a scene from Here's Negan, where he's in the field digging up something, and it's Lucille. So he must have been told, or he was told at some point, the bat was where he dropped it, which is where he had to fight with Nick, and Nick cut his, Rick cut his throat.
It was pretty buried.
Right. So I guess they buried it there rather than destroy it. They should have destroyed it. Because that's the bat that killed Glenn. Spoiler, oof. Glenn's dead. And if he brings
that's
that
rough.
If he brings that bat back to Alexandria,
oh,
how
shit.
Awful is that going to be?
That would be so sick if that's what he does. I hope he doesn't, because he had some smirk on his face when he found it.
Right. They show a flashback to 12 years ago. He's tied up in a chair with a hood on his head. The hood is removed, and the biker guy, Bixby, Baxter, whatever his name is, removes the hood, and Negan's got a bloody mouth, and he's begging him. He says, you got to let me go. You got to let me go. Now, in previous trailers, we've seen Negan with a bat walk into the same bar, and the other guy is tied to the chair. And he says, you said I talk a lot. You're not going to like when I stop talking. So it must have been at some point the roles were reversed.
Yeah.
And he talked a lot, and the guy told him he talks too much, and he punched him in the mouth or something. Obviously, he gets out of the chair, and he gets away. And obviously, he comes back, and they have the guy tied up. This guy's in a biker gang. Now, my guess is because of the pandemic, you don't see the whole biker gang.
Just one member.
and the bike gang he's in says Ohio on the back.
Hmm.
Now, it could be Ohio, the state. Or it could be there's other Ohios. I think there's an Ohio somewhere in the South. I don't know. But anyway, he says he's in the Ohio biker gang. So does that mean Negan and his wife at some point were from Ohio? I don't know. I'll look it up. But he's from Ohio. At least in that scene, the biker is from Ohio somewhere in the country.
Yeah.
Okay? I should have looked it up. I didn't. Don't tweet me. I'll figure it out. Anyway, it looks like it's going to be a good episode. And it'll make up for the last two.
I'm pumped.
I just feel like they should have maybe put the Splinter episode second, so that coming off the Good Maggie episode, then that would have sucked. But then you're like, okay, there'll be a better. And then go into the third episode where you've got Carol and Daryl and yep. Leah flashbacks. That was a good episode.
That was a great episode. I love that episode.
I wouldn't have put Splinter back to back with Diverged.
Ooh, that was a little rough.
That's poor planning.
Back to back.
Back to back. Not good. So I'm hoping Negan is better. With that said, Jamie, it's your big moment. Have you been stressing all week about it? Because now you're 2 weeks in a row.
Sweating.
Train wreck. I don't know what else to do. I don't know how to prep you with this. I don't know if I speak not enough, you're not going to be ready. If I speak too much, then it won't work. I don't know what to do. What's
I'm
best for you? What's best for you?
Let's just do it.
Okay. All right. And by doing it, you mean do the ending of the show.
The ending of the show.
Okay. All right. Okay. Jamie, it's time.
What time is it?
It's time to shut this
shit down.
Yes!
Woo! Nailed it!
Nailed it that time. I wasn't recording, though. Let's do it again.
Oh, you weren't?
I'm sorry. I hit stop.
Oh, that's okay. No, and this time I actually was recording the whole time.
I'm lying to you. I was recording.
Okay, good.
Okay, I was going to have you do it again, but
I was getting, I was, now I was getting nervous. I'm like, oh my God, okay. I don't know if I can do that again.
Now for real, we're done.
Okay.
You can hit stop now.
I can stop now.